Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amar Aleph at the sixth line. Amar Rava, the Torah says, "B'chol Avedas Achicha," to teach us, says Rava, "L'rabbis Avedas Karka," that if included in the din of Hashavas Aveda is if I see my friend's property, his karka, is about to be destroyed, I have an obligation to do whatever I can to protect it, to save it. And as the Mefarshim explain, why would we think that karka should be treated differently? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the Torah, when it describes, when it identifies the various items for which there is a Shavas Aveda, a pasuk we discussed at the beginning of the parak, speaks about Shor, Chamor, Seh, Simla. All of these are metaltlin, and therefore we would think that Karka is not included. Another pshat that I saw is that Karka can never really be completely taken away, because the karka remains. It may get ruined, but the karka remains where it is. However, metatlin could be entirely lost, and therefore we would think that the halacha of Hashavas Aveda ought not to apply to karka. That's why Rava comes to teach us that it does apply. Amalei Rav Chananya l'Rava. So Chananya said to Rava, Tanya the Messiah, Brisa that we learned at the end of the previous shir corroborates your opinion. Raw maim sheshoyt from maim. If somebody saw water coming to flood someone else's field, harei ze goyd v'fneim, he has to put up a fence to protect that field. So we see that Hashavas Aveda applies to karka. And as the Pesukim can point out, this brisa is the basis for a number of important halachas, halach lemaisa. One is, let's say I'm walking by my friend's home or business at a time that I know that he's not home. I'm walking by my friend's business on Friday afternoon, and I know he closed the store for Shabbos, and I see that he forgot to turn off the air conditioner. So I have an obligation to notify him that his air conditioner is on, that he shouldn't waste money on the air conditioner being on. Similarly, let's say a person has their laundry hanging out to dry and it's about to rain, and I have an obligation to call my neighbor, who may not be aware that that is about to happen, or if they're not home, to help take down that laundry again to save it from getting ruined. Another example is, let's say I see someone is about to break into someone else's house or car, I have the obligation to stop it, and of course it may be sakonis nefashis for me to try to stop it, so what I ought to do is call the police. And the Pesukim say that even though the police will not necessarily follow the din Torah what to do, still if I see that my friend's property, his home, his car, whatever, may be stolen or damaged, I have to call the police, all based on this din. Amalei, so Rava said, Imishem ha, if you want to bring a raya to my opinion from this brisa, loy tesayi, it's not really a full support. Hachem ma'iskinen, because this brisa is referring to a situation, b'deika omrim, where there are bundles of wheat on the field. And therefore that's why he's protecting it. But it has nothing to do with the karka itself. Ask the Gemara, if that's how we're going to understand the brisa, idikim amrim, it was said that the brisa is referring to a situation where there are bundles on the field, samayla memra. Of course, it's a regular situation of hashavas aveda. Answers the Gemara, loitzricha de isbay amrim de tzricha l'ara. There are bundles that are not completely dried out, and they therefore still somewhat need to be on the field. Since they somewhat need to be connected to the ground, they ought to be treated kigufa de aradamyan, and maybe there is no din of Hashavas Aveda, kamash malon, that the omrim are treated like metaplin, and certainly the din of Hashavas Aveda applies to them. But that doesn't prove, says Rava, that on the karka itself there is a chiv shavas aveda, even though the halacha is that the din is that there is a shavas aveda even on the karka. We learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually spoke about two situations. The Mishnah spoke about a situation about an animal that is roya on the derech, and the Mishnah spoke about an animal that is running through the krumim. However, there are two more cases that the Gemara, that the Mishnah doesn't mention, which will be the focus of our Gemara, and which will be part of the way to try to understand the Mishnah. A situation where animal is running by the road, and a situation where animal is grazing its roya in the vineyard. In the first case, where the animal is grazing by the road, it's safe for two reasons. Number one, it's walking, not running, so less of a concern that it's going to hurt itself or wander too far. And since it's situated on the road, not in the vineyards, where there are vines that could damage it. In the second case, by mentioning the Mishnah, there are two problems. Number one, it's running. And number two, it's in a vineyard where we just said it could get likely injured. In the last two cases that we just mentioned, that are not mentioned in the Mishnah, the animal is unsafe because of one reason, and safe because of another reason. When it's running along the road, it's unsafe because it's running, but it's safe because it's on the road, not in a kerem. In the case where it's grazing in the vineyard, it's safe because it's grazing, but not safe because it's in the vineyard. And the Gemara poses the following question. Hagu fakasha. Amrit, we said, matzah chamar or par roim bederech. If we see a chamar or a par that are grazing on the road, ein za aveda. So what does it seem to be that the Mishnah is teaching us? Roim bederech hu delo hav aveda. Strictly because it's grazing on the road, that's why it's not an aveda. Haratz bederech, were to be running on the road, or roya ben akramim, or if it was grazing in the kerim. So even though there's only one problem then, not the two problems that exist when it's running through a kerem, it's still an aveda. One issue already causes it to be an aveda. Aim is safer, but let's continue learning the Mishnah. It said in the end of the Mishnah, chamar v'kelev hafuchim, if you have a chamar with its gear overturned, or paru rotsa ben akramim, or you have a paru that's running through the kerem, that's when harezu aveda. So it seems to be strictly because rotz ben akramim. So you have two problems, both that it's rotza and it's ben akramim. Who the have aveda? That's why it's an aveda. Harotz bederech v'roy ben akramim. Whereas we explained, there's only one concern, enzu aveda. So our Mishnah seems to be self-contradictory. What will be the halacha in a situation where there is only one issue? Amar Abaya yagrav leireya. The way to understand the Mishnah is that one case in the Mishnah helps us understand the other case of the Mishnah. Tana roi bederech, the lo hav aveda. The Mishnah teaches us the din of roi bederech, that it's not an aveda. V'hu adin l'roi ben akramim. And that would be the same din when it's roya ben akramim. It's also not considered an aveda because it's roya. And tana rotsa ben akramim, the hav aveda. The Tana taught us a case of Rotza ben Akramim, that it's an Aveda. But not only when it's a Rotza in the Kramim, when it's running in the Kramim, is it an Aveda? V'hu adin l'Rotza b'derech. But also when it's running on the Derech, it too is considered an Aveda. In other words, what Abaye is saying, to say in one sentence, Abaye is saying that Roya is never an Aveda, and Rotza is always an Aveda. And as the Shita quotes the Ravid, the Gemara could have asked a question, an immediate question. If that's the way to understand the Mishnah, then the Mishnah should have made a very easy distinction. It should have said, Roya is never an Aveda, and Rotza is always an Aveda. Why did the Mishnah have to bring in the concept, the factor of Kerem and Derech? And actually, The Ravid says the Gemara could have asked that question, but Rava asks a different question. Amalei Rava, I Yagrav Lev Reyo. If that's the way to understand the Mishnah, listen Kilsa. Let the Mishnah teach us the less serious case that, and say that that is or isn't an Aveda. V'kashke and Chamirta, and we'll learn the other case from it. Because as is normally the Derech is the Mishnah, the Tana always tells us the greater Chiddush, and then we can extrapolate the lesser Chiddush. And the Gemara explains itself. Ristni, we should have spoken about the case of Rotsa B'Derech Dava Aveda and Kolshkein Rotsa Ben Akramim. And certainly the case of Rotsa Ben Akramim will be an Aveda. Because if Rotsa B'Derech, which as we began explaining, there's only one issue, it's already considered an Aveda. Certainly Rotsa Ben Akramim, where there are two concerns, it's an Aveda. And the other hand, for listening, Roya Ben Akramim, the Lai Hava Aveda, where even though there is one issue, because it's Ben Akramim, it's still not considered an Aveda, then certainly Kashke and Roya B'Derech, where there are no concerns, it's Roya and it's Derech, that it's not an Aveda. Why didn't the Mishnah teach us this, these halachas according to Abaye that way, which is the normal way that the Shas is, the Mishnah usually is presented? Ela Amarava, therefore Rava says, Rotsa Rotsa Loi Kasha. There is, we won't have a steer between Rotsa. Hada Apala Gabi Deboro, in a situation that it's facing, when the animal is facing the wilderness away from its owner, it's always considered an Aveda. Hada Apala Gabi Masa, when it's facing the city, it's not an Aveda. Roya Roya Namila Kasha, continues Rava. Kamba Aveda Skufa, when a Mishnah says that an animal Roya in the Kerem is not an Aveda, is referring to the animal itself, Kamba Aveda Karka. But when we say that it does seem to be an Aveda, it's in a situation where we're worried about the Karka. And the Gemara explains itself. Kik Tani B'Roya Ben Derech, when the Mishnah said that Roya Ben Derech Lo Hava Aveda, which seems to imply Haroi ben Akramim have Aveda, that if it's Roy in the Kerem it's an Aveda, it's referring to Aveda's Karka. We're concerned that the property will get damaged. It's not that we're concerned about the animal, we're concerned about the property. And therefore, it's our obligation to remove the animal from the Kerem to protect the Kerem from the animal trampling on it. And in fact, there's a machloikus rishonim that if the entire obligation here is just to protect the karka, what does the chiva shavas aveda entail? Doesn't mean that I just have to get the animal out of the karka, that the karka shall no longer be in danger? Or does the halacha require that once we're obligated to remove the animal from the kerem to protect the kerem, then we have to take the animal all the way back to its owner, even though the purpose was just to protect the Karen. The Chik Tani Rotz Ben Akram have Aveda. When the Mishnah said the Rotz Ben Akram is an Aveda, which seems to imply Haroi Ben Akramim, if it's only grazing in the Karim, Loi have Aveda, that's regarding Aveda's Gufa, about the animal itself. Because when it's Rotz Ben Akramim, we have to be concerned that Maskava, it's going to become injured. But if it's only Roya Ben Akramim, we don't have to worry about Loi Maskava, we don't have to worry about it becoming injured, it's walking nicely, and therefore there's no worry about the animal itself. Ask the Gemara for Roya Ben Akramim in a situation where it's walking in the Kerem. So as we just explained, Ned the Loi Maskava, we don't have to worry about the animal itself getting injured, but typically Mishavedis Karka, why are we not concerned about the karka of the kerem that'll get ruined by the trampling of the animal on it? Answers the Gemara, it's talking about the kuti, that the animal is walking on the property of a kuti, and we're not worried about a shavas aveda by a kuti. Ask the Gemara, if we're talking about a situation that this property is owned by a kuti, but typically mishamavudis gufa, so now even though it's a roya, but why are we not concerned the dumakatla, that the guy will go and kill this animal who's grazing on his property? Answers the Gemara, we don't have to worry that the kuti will kill the animal, because they had animal rights. But aser, the master of a hadrakatli, they don't kill animal, they're not allowed to kill an animal without giving proper warning to the owner to remove the animal. So ask the Gemara, maybe they gave warning. Maybe we're referring to a situation with Dilma Asrava, that they gave the animal's owner proper warning. And if I won't remove the animal from this goy's property, the goy will kill the animal. So then why are we concerned about Avedis Gufa? Answers the Gemara, if it's indeed such a situation, if we indeed gave the owner warning to remove his animal, otherwise the guy will kill the animal. Hare aveda midasi, it's considered a situation of aveda midas, that there is no chiv, as we learned earlier, of Ashavas aveda. However, point out the Mefarshim, that even though under such circumstances we've learned that there is no chiv of Ashavas aveda, we learned the machloikus rishonim, what is the din by aveda midas, that if somebody leaves something out in the street, there's a machlokes rishonim, is the din that I just have to leave it there, I don't have to return it, or is the din that I could even take it? Machlokes, the Tor and other rishonim. Point out the Mefarshim, that even according to the opinion of the Tor, that normally in a situation of aveda midas, not only don't I have to do ashavas aveda, but I can even take the item, that is in a regular case of aveda midas. Here, where someone let his animal graze in a guy's field, and he got warning that the guy's going to kill the animal, it's not to the degree of an aveda midas that I can go take that animal for myself. So we learned in the Mishnah, hachziru barcha, hachziru barcha, if somebody returned the animal and it kept on running back, the halacha is that hashavas aveda has to, you have to keep on doing hashavas aveda. So one of the Rabbanan asked Rava, Eima, why don't we explain that the pasuk that speaks about a Shavas Aveda should be understood? Hashev, Chada Zimna, I have to do the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda once. Tishivim, Trei Zimna, the second time. But I don't have to keep on doing Hashavas Aveda many times. Amalei, so he responded, Hashev afilu kof pamemashma. The word Hashev means that you have to do it even 100 times. So there's an interesting shaila by the Dvar Avram. He says, well, our Gemara, our Mishnah teaches us that a Hashavas Aveda should even be done 100 times. How is that to be understood? Is it to be understood that every time I do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda on this item, it's a separate mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? Or is it considered one long act of Hashavas Aveda? And obviously the question is, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is going back to what we learned in the previous year. We learned that there is a greater obligation of Ashavas Aveda once I begin the mitzvah, that I have to complete the mitzvah, versus if I didn't begin it. As we explained in the previous year, for example, a zokev enel fi kvoidai may not be obligated in the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. However, the din is, if the zoking began doing the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, then he's obligated to complete it. So now the question is, if somebody did the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda once, and then the animal ran away, and then again and again, as we're learning, is it considered one prolonged act of Hashavas Aveda that you have to complete, or is it considered separate acts? And the Dvar Avram says, it's certainly considered each Hashavas Aveda is considered a separate mitzvah, a separate individual mitzvah, no connection between one and the other. Along the same line, I saw that the Sfarim explained, Hosha Teshivim Afil Mei Pamim, this is very much consistent with a Gemara that we're soon going to learn, that just like there's an obligation of Hashavas Aveda on somebody else's property or on his animal, certainly there's a Chiva Hashavas Aveda on a person, that if we see a person acting improperly, we have a chiv of Hashavas Aveda to put him back on the right track. And there, too, a filu meya pa'amim, we have to keep on trying till we get our brother to act appropriately. Teshivim. So what do we learn from the word teshivim? Because if I had only a little basic, I would think that the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda requires you to return the animal to the owner's home. How do you know it's adequate if you take him to his yard or to his churva? You mekayim the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda in all circumstances. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, what is the gnasa and chavasa that we're referring to? Eat the mintra, if they're properly fenced in, pshita, that you mekayim the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda by taking it to gnasa and chavasa. Eat the light mintra, and if on the other hand, the gnasa and chavasa are not properly guarded, so the question is, Amai, why is it considered that I'm fulfilling under such circumstances the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda? Answers the Gemara Lailan Dementra. It's properly fenced in. For Hakamashmalan, what the Bryce is teaching us is the Loi Bein Das Balam. To fulfill the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, I don't necessarily have to return it to the owner's. The owner does not have to be aware that I actually returned it to his property. As the Gemara teaches us, Kid Rabbi Loza. As Rabbi Loza taught us in Masechta Baba Kama, where Rabbi Loza said, Hakot Tzrichim Das Balam. In all situations when you're returning something, certainly in a situation that a ganef or a gazlan is returning an item that he stole, or one of the shaymrim, a shaymer, chinim, a shaymer, a sachar, a soicher, a shayel, hakot tzrichim das balam, if you return it, the owner has to be aware that you're returning the lost item, chot meshavas aveda, except for the situation of meshavas aveda, shatayru ripsa, shavas harbe, that just returning it to the protected place that's owned by this owner is enough to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. So our Gemara now, since we're going to be speaking about the Torah using a double lashon in many different places, the Gemara is going to focus on it from different areas in halacha. Shaleich teshalach. The Torah uses the word shaleich teshalach, but the mitzvah shiluach hakein, where the Torah says shalach teshalach asa'ein, you should send away the mother, vesa banim tikach loch, you should hold on to the children. Ema, I would think again, shalach chad zimna, that if you send away the mother once, teshalach trei zimna, or a second time, if you send that away the mother twice, that's all, and if the mother keeps on coming back, you don't have to do any more. Amalei, that's why Rav said to him, no. Shalach means, afila mei pam mashma. You have to keep on sending away the mother as many times, even if it keeps on coming back. Ainli, tishalach. So what do we learn from the word tishalach? Ainli, eladvar rishus. Maybe, where is there a chiv that you have to send away the mother? Were you taking the babies, the eggs, just for your own personal use? However, if you're taking the eggs, l'dvar mitzvah minayim, we know that as part of the purification process of mitzvira, he had to bring the tzipari mitzvira. And I would think that if they're taking the eggs in order to be able to use those birds for the mitzvah of the purification of mitzvira, there is no chiyuv of sending away the mother. Why not? Explain the Rishonim. Because since we know that Allah is Mitzayra is not allowed to have relations with his wife, or even according to the opinion explained to Rishonim, that a Mitzayra who's already in the middle of his purification process may already have relations with his wife. But certainly a wife may be reluctant to have relations with her husband when he's still a Mitzayra. And therefore, in order for Shalom Bayis, we would think that the halacha is that we just should take the birds to be able to do this process and not be mechuyev to do shluch hakein. Tameloimer, that's what the Torah says, tishalach mikamakim, there's always an obligation, even if you're taking the eggs for the mitzvah of shluch hakein, for the mitzvah of mitzvira, still you have a chiv of shluch hakein, of sending away the mother. Similarly, amalei ahumer abonin lerova. The pasuk says, "Hacheich techeich asemisecha." Veima, I would think perhaps, "Hacheich" means chadu zimna, "techeich" trei zimni, and we only have a chiv to do a chacha twice. Amalei, "Hacheich" afilu kuf pam mamashma. A person has an obligation to do techacha; he has to keep on doing techacha. However, the pasuk can point out that even though there's a chiv to do techacha many times, we know that halacha is only at kidei akol. If the person that I'm giving musar to is going to already hit me, then I could back off. There's also machloikas apaiskim, if there's a chiyuv toichacha in a situation of a mitzvah asei. Some Paiskim hold that if a person is only being over a mitzvah sasei, there's no chiv techacha. Others say that there's a chiv techacha even by mitzvah sasei. There's also a concept that under certain circumstances, specifically by an aveira, which is not explicitly said in the Torah, and we know that the person who we tell the musa to won't listen, sometimes there's a concept of mutav shei shoyigin val yehei mezidin. I saw interesting psak for a Moshe. Let's say there's a situation where there are two partners, and one partner is religious, and the other partner is not a religious Jew. And they go to business meetings together, and the non-religious partner is not makbet, only kosher food, and he doesn't make brachas, and he doesn't wash the tehillah shadayim. And the religious partner is concerned that if he says something to his partner will just dissolve the entire partnership and leave him without panasa. Is he obligated to give chaychacha? And Rav Moshe says under such circumstances he's not obligated to give chaychacha. Another pshat that I saw, hacheich techiach afilu meir pa'amim, I saw this pshat from the Mayan Shal Torah. He explains that the Gemara is teaching us the proper way of giving techacha. The proper way to give techacha is afilu meir pa'amim, to give it in small bite-sized pieces. Don't give big mussar, which will be complicated for the person to listen to. Rather, give it to him mei pamim in small pieces, which he's more likely to accept. Bechlal, I saw that the Mefarshim explain why is the halacha chaycheich techiach afilu mei pamim? Because it's not necessarily the fault of the person who's getting the mussar that he's not listening. It may be the fault of the person who's giving it, that he's not articulating it, he's not giving it over properly, and therefore he has to keep on trying to say it in a way that the person who he's saying to will eventually accept it. Why do we have to be concerned that the person who's giving the mussar is perhaps not saying it properly? So I saw a beautiful vart based on an explanation from the Baal Shem Tov. The Gemara says, Eina doima shayna pirka lemei pa'amim l'shayna pirka mei pa'am v'achas. We can't compare a person who learns Torah 100 times to a person who learns Torah 101 times. And everybody tries to understand what is the big deal, what is the big difference between the 101 to the 100. So the Baal Shem explains, Eina doima shayna pirka lemei pa'amim. The achas refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Hashem Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We can't compare a person who learns the Torah 100 times to the person who learns it with the achas, that he has that HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him. You know why you have to give a person haychacha 100 times? You know perhaps why your taychacha wasn't effective? Because you were missing the achas. You were missing the yirah shemayim. You were missing the l'shem shemayim. Had you brought that into your musar, then it would be much more effective. Taychiach, ein li ela rava talmud. I would only think that a Rebbe should give musa to a Talmud. Talmud l'rabbinayim. How do we know that a Talmud should give musa to a Rebbe? Of course, as the Ritva explains, that when a Talmud is giving musa to a Rebbe, he has to be very careful to say it in a respectful manner, not address him openly saying you did something wrong. Talmud loimer, chacheich techiach mikom okim. There is always such an obligation. The Pasuk says, and now we begin, we'll discuss this more as we get into the Perek, the mitzvah prika utina. The mitzvah prika utina is either somebody's animal is overloaded, we have an obligation to help take off the packages from the animal, and the mitzvah tina is to help someone load his animal. Eli ela ba'olav imoy. We would only know when the owner is there that there's a chiv of prika utina. She'ein ba'olav imoy. Minayin. How do we know that the chiyuv applies then also? Tamalayim azav tazav become makim. So some rishonim explain the Gemara simply. That's the way it seems that the Rosh seems to understand the Gemara. That's referring to a situation where the owner is not there, that there's still chiyuv of prika. However, many Rishonim ask that it's obvious that the owner is there. You have a chiyuv and his animal is collapsing from the load that it's carrying, that you have a chiyuv to help unload the animal, because it's no different than a Shabbos Aveda. So therefore, they explain it's referring to a situation that the owner is there, but the owner is sick or old, and he is unable to unload the animal, that you have a chiyuv to unload the animal, and you can't say, let the owner go and find, hire a worker to do it. Similarly, the Torah says, hakim takim imai, that we have an obligation to help load the animal. Ainli el bal of imai, she'en bal of imai minayim, that the same din applies. Tamalayma hakim takim mikom makim, under all circumstances, we have the chiyuv of tina. Ask the Gemara, v'lamalei lemichtav tina. Why does the Torah have to write both of these mitzvahs? If there's a chiyuv to do tina, there's certainly a chiyuv to do purika. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara's question. Tosfos understands the Gemara's question. Why do we need two psukim to teach us the din of Ein ba'ol of imoy, that when the owner is sick or old, you don't have a chiyuv, that you still have the chiyuv? I could have mentioned it once, and I could have applied it to both situations. Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. We need to have both psukim. Dikos rachmana prika, had the Torah only mentioned the mitzvah prika, ha'amir mishum dikat sar bal chayim, here the animal is collapsing under its load. And furthermore, ikichsar and kiss, the animal could be permanently damaged from carrying this heavy load. Avol tina, when it comes to loading the animal, the lav tzar bal chayim ikka, there is no tzar bal chayim, it's not carrying a load yet. And furthermore, v'lochsar and kiss ikka, the animal's not going to be damaged, it's not carrying a load. E maloi, there should be no chiyuv of tina. V'yashmin and tina, had the Torah only taught us the din of tina, b'shem v'schar, as we're going to learn, that even though there's a mitzvah to do tina, the person who does it has a right to ask for compensation. Avu prika, when it comes to the mitzvah prika, the day of the bechinam, you can't ask for compensation. Eimeloi, tzricha, that's why we need a pasuk, both for prika and tina. Ask the Gemara, however, according to Rav Shimon, the Amav Tina Bechiram, his opinion is that not only does Prika have to be done, where you can't ask for compensation, but so is also the din by Teina, why do we need two Psukim? Answers the Gemara, Rav Shimon, Lam Asai Mikra. If we had these two Psukim, we wouldn't know, if we only had one Pasuk, we wouldn't know that which din the Pasuk is teaching us. That we'd say mostly the Pasukim could be explained to be talking about Purika or about Tina, says Rav Shimon. And therefore we had these only one of the two Pasukim. I would say that the Pasuk is only teaching us the lesser Chiddush. Which is the lesser Chiddush? The Chiyuv of Purika. And I would never know Bechlal that there is a mitzvah of Tina. That's why the Torah had to say two Pasukim, and I say one Pasuk is teaching us the din of Prika, but then what is the other Pasuk teaching? The other Pasuk must be teaching us the din of Te'ina. Ask the Gemara, Lamali Lemichtav Hani Tarti, why does the Torah have to mention both the mitzvah of Prik V'Tina, and also does the Torah have to teach us the din of Aveda, the din of Hashavas Aveda? In essence, they're all teaching us the same din, that we have to watch somebody else's property. As the Maram Shift points out, the Gemara doesn't ask why does the Torah also have to write like Sigzoil, like Signov, where they also teach us that we have to be concerned about somebody else's property, because it's different. In the cases of Prika, Teina, Hashavas Aveda, if I won't do something, my friend's property will get damaged. Here, however, Geneva Gzela, it's not a concern that anything wrong, that anything can happen to my friend's property. I'm just not allowed to take it. So that's what Gemara asks. Specifically, why do we need both apostolic for Teina, Prika, and Hashavas Aveda? Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. Dikas Rachman Hani Tarti, had the Torah only written Prika and Teina, Mishundit Sarah, the Mar Isa, the owner is in anguish because of his animal's pain, and tsar the day isa, and the animal is in anguish. And as Ritva points out, even though the Gemara just said a moment ago that by Tiina there is no tsar, so it says the Ritva, we're going to learn soon in the Gemara that there is an element of tsar even by Tiina. Why? Because it's much easier for an animal when it's loaded by two people and they can load the animal properly versus when it's loaded only by one individual. Aveda, in the situation of an aveda, the tsar de marisa, yes, the owner is bitsar, bitsar the daylist, but the animal's not bitsar, emaloi, there should be no, maybe there's no chiv. Ve'yashmin an aveda, in the situation of aveda, mishum de les lamora bahado, the owner is not there. Therefore, a person has to help him out. Aval hanitarti, dis lamar bado, where the owner is there. A maloi, maybe there's no obligation. Maybe if the owner is having a problem, I don't have to help. Let him hire somebody. Tzricha, that's why the Torah had to mention all three of these mitzvahs separately. And says the Gemara, mois yumas hamaka. The Torah speaks here about a ritzeach, and the Torah says that a ritzeach is chayiv saif. A murderer is killed by sword. Only el b'misak suvaba. I only know that you could do the mitzvah. I only know that what if I could fulfill killing him that way. Menayin shim yati yochel amisa b'misak suvaba. How do we know we can't do the misa the Torah prescribes? Shatar shoy la misa b'chol misa shatar yochel amisa. Then use one of the other methods. Tamaloymer mois yumas b'kamokim. Use any method that's available. Hakasaka, here the Torah speaks about an ear in Nidacha. Most of the city's inhabitants were found to be Oved Avodah Zarah. And even though normally the Chiv Misa for Oved Avodah Zarah is Skila, here where it's ear on Nidachas, the Aloch is that they get Saif, that the city is killed out by sword. Again, I would only know that chiv saif, that misa saif should be applied. If you can't do this, use something else. The Torah speaks about a mashkin. And the Torah says that if somebody is, so as the Rishonim explained, to put this Gemara into perspective, there are two situations of mashkin. Sometimes a person takes a mashkin at the moment of the loan. The loiva gives the malva mashkin. That's not the mashkin that the Torah speaks about. The mashkin the Torah speaks about is a situation where the loiva is not paying the debt, so Bezdin extracts from the loiva mashkin. But the Torah says, and that the halacha will be, that if he doesn't pay off his debt by the time Beis Din tells him to, then he's going to have to pay, he's going to have to leave the mashkin permanently with the malva. But the Torah says that if you take a mashkin under such circumstances, if it's something that the loiva needs by day, you'll have to give it back to him. You could hold it by night and give it back to him by day, and vice versa. Hashiv tashivim. I would think that this din only applies where it's Bezdin that took, that made this arrangement and took the mashkin from the loiva to the malva. However, how do we know that even if it wasn't done by Bezdin, the malva extracted the mashkin from the loiva on his own, how do we know that the same din applies? Tamalaymer, hashiv tashiv mikamakim. So Rishonim asked the obvious question. If in a case where a person followed the rules, he went to Beis Din, and that's how the mashkin was extracted, still the din applies that you have to give it back to him. So certainly when a person did it shalai brishus to Beis Din, the din ought to apply. So some explain that since this malva took the mashkin shalai brishus Beis Din, and now if he's going to give it back to the loiva, there's a real concern that the loiva won't give it back to him at night or by morning. And therefore, maybe he shouldn't have to give it back to him. Teaches us, the Gemara, that he still has to do it. Another pshat is that when it's done under the authorization of Beis Din, so Beis Din sets the rules. But when it wasn't done under the authorization of Beis Din, there aren't specific rules. Kamashma, the rules remain the rules under all circumstances. Another pshat is that somebody being able to do this, Shaloi B'Shus Beis Din, is a milsad lo shchiach. It's very uncommon. And as we have discussed so many times, the Torah really doesn't typically speak to uncommon situations. That's why we had to learn that the din applies. And similarly, the Torah says, Chaval Tachpoil. Again, speaks about giving back. If you take a beged from your chaver, you have to give it back. And we're going to see why we need both psukim to teach us the same halacha. Ainli elish mishkan b'rishus. Again, the same Gemara. Maybe this would apply only when it was done under authorization of Beis Din. Mishkan shloi b'rishus menayin. That you still have the same din. Tamaloyma chaval tachpa become makan. Ask the Gemara. Vani trei kral lomeli. Why do we need two psukim to teach us the exact same din that you have to return the mashkin to the loiva when he needs it? If it's a day garment, give it back to him by day. If it's something he uses at night, give it back to him tonight. Teach us chalak sus yoim, as we just said, v'chalak sus laila, one for day garments and one for night garments. Pesoyach tichtach, the Torah says that you have to give tzedakah. Ein li el l'niya ircha. I would only know that you have to give tzedakah to people who live in your city. L'niya ir acheres minayim, people from a different city. That means, when Mepharshim explained, let's say Baruch Hashem, in your city there's nobody who needs tzedakah, or there's great needs out of your city. How do you know you still have the same obligation? Tamalayim pesayach tifta become mokin. Nosan titain, enli elamatana meruba. So the Mepharshim explained, there are two ways in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. One is that the person who's giving the tzedakah is an individual who could give a large gift. But let's say the person who's giving the tzedakah is poor, and therefore he's only able to give a small gift. Or another way of understanding it is as follows. Let's say the person who's receiving the tzedakah is a person who needs a large gift. Otherwise, he can't survive. But let's say the person is just on the borderline. How do we know that we have a chiyuv to give such an individual also tzedakah? Metanimo etas minayin, tamaloyma nos and titain, bikomakim, you're always obligated to give tzedakah. I saw an interesting shaila. What would be the din if the person has the ability to go to work, and were he to go to work, he could make a living and he wouldn't have to take tzedakah. But he doesn't go to work. Are we obligated to give him to tzedakah? So it seems that the halacha is that we're not obligated to give him tzedakah under such circumstances. However, as Rabbi Yosef points out, that's only in a situation where he doesn't have a family. In a situation that he has a family, so his family should not be made to suffer because he doesn't go to work. And there the halacha is that one should give him tzedakah for his family's purposes. Hanik Tanik. The Torah speaks about an Eved Ivri, that one has to give severance to an Eved Ivri. Because the pasuk says, "V'chisa shalchenu chavshim imach, loisa shalchenu reikom, hanik tanik loy mitzayncha migarncha miyikecha ashebecha Hashem alkecha titan loy." Ainli elishab nizbarach abayis pgloloy. I would only know that you have to give this severance in a situation where he brought a bracha to the home. That's what manikin. Loy nizbarach abayis pgloloy. But let's say he didn't bring any specific bracha to the home. How do I know that you still have to give hanaka? Tamloy mehanik tanik mikom makin. Ask the Gemara, this Baruch HaBayis Begloloi, only in a situation where he brought a bracha to the home, that's when manikin loy. However, loy this Baruch HaBayis Begloloi, a manikin, so now we have a question, Tanik Lamali, and says the Gemara, Dibritar Kalosh Mnei Adam. As the Mepharshim point out, just like it's common when a person wants to say something, and he wants to show that he's serious, he repeats it to show emphasis, so too the Torah repeats it to show emphasis. However, as Tosfos and Rishonim point out, it's not to mean that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that every time, as we've been learning in our shir, that we have the Torah mentioning a double lashon, doesn't mean that Rabbi Elazar is going to explain it to be Dibur Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. Only in this circumstance, where we don't have another explanation, does Rabbi Elazar say Dibur Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. Certainly where a halacha can be learned from the double lashon, which Rabbi Elazar accepts, he'll use that double lashon to teach us a halacha. Similarly, have it taviteni. Enli elish enloiv enroitz l'spanis. The Torah speaks about lending to a poor person. We would only think that you have to lend to a person who doesn't have money of his own and doesn't want to be supported. That's what the Torah says, lend the money. However, yeshloi, let's say you have a person who has his own money, have an rots l'sparnis, menayin, that you have to lend the money, tamavtanim ikamokin. Or if Shimon asked the Gemara, the Amar, yeshloi v'ein rots l'sparnis, enis kakin loi, we don't have to lend them the money, tamavtanim lomali, answers the Gemara, the Torah kolosh b'nei Adam. So here we see there's a mitzvah included in the mitzvah tzedakah of lending money to someone who doesn't have tzedakah. And there's an interesting machlokes rishonim, Rambam and Ramban. If somebody has money they put away for tzedakah, is he allowed to use that tzedakah money not to give tzedakah, but rather to lend money to people who need tzedakah? The Rambam's opinion is that he's mekayim mitzvah tzedakah by using, and therefore he could use that designated money to lend money. The Ramban disagrees. Furthermore, the Chafetz Chaim discusses the following shaila. He asks, what will be the halacha? We know the halacha, hayizbazbiz, ayizbazbiz, yotz mechaymish. A person shouldn't give more than 20% to tzedakah. Ask the Chafetz Chaim, what will be the din regarding money that he's, tzedakah money that he's using to loan? Maybe it's tzedakah money that I'm giving away. There, the halacha is I shouldn't give away more than 20%. But here, where it's a loan, so I'm going to get back the money, there is no limit of 20%. The Mishnah said, "Haybatlam in a seller, if the person who found the item is not working, layaymaloy tenli seller, he can't say to the person whose item he found, give me compensation for the money I lost during that time. Al nasin lay schara kasayil batal." Says the Gemara, "Nice like schara kapayel bottle." The Tan explains kapayel bottle. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My kapayel bottle. What does that mean? Amar Abaya kapayel bottle shoyts belocha the bottle minay. As a person who chose to stand idle from the work that he normally does. That's Rashi's pshat. In other words, according to Rashi, the pshat in the Gemara is as follows. Let's say I do a hard job, and the job I get paid $20, but it's a very difficult job. Let's say somebody would come over to me and say, how much would you be willing to work and you wouldn't have to work so hard? And I'll say, I'll take $10 an hour, but it doesn't require, if it won't require me to work hard. So that's how much he should get paid. But according to Rashi, point out the Mefarshim, let's say the person doesn't have a hard job and he still gets paid well, then you would have to compensate him his entire wage. Taisus has a different pshat. Taisus pshat is as follows. A person has a job. He earns whatever he earns an hour. If you went over to the person and said, you know what, I'll pay you and you don't have to work at all, how much would the person be willing to take not to work at all? That's how much it's considered kapoil bottle. The place can also discuss, this is the place to discuss the shaila, is a person entitled to take a reward for Hashabbas Aveda? And from our Gemara, it seems that unless you stipulate it, you're not allowed to take Hashabbas Aveda. Certainly not more than Kapoil Bottle. So how do people take rewards? So Moshe Sternbach in the Tshuvas Adhagas quotes a Chazanish that we already quoted that says that the Chiv Hashabbas Aveda only is that I announce it, and the person who lost it has to come to me to pick it up. But I'm not obligated to take the Aveda to him. So for taking the Aveda to him, that's for what I could get compensated. But what will happen, according to Ramosha Sternberg, if the person who lost the Aveda indeed comes to me to pick up the Aveda? Or it isn't so much work to bring the Aveda to him. So I saw from Rav Zilberstein that he gives two other explanations why somebody's allowed to take a reward. One is, it should cause other people to want to be Meshiv Aveda. By me taking the reward, somebody will say, you know what, doing the mitzvah Shavas Aveda is a good thing. You get a reward. And that will cause people to do the mitzvah. Another pshat is that you're allowed to take a reward, he says, because a person who lost an Aveda that he's looking for is going to spend money and effort and time and resources to find his Aveda. By me having done this for him, I'm saving him all of that energy and resource spending. And that's what I'm allowed to take the reward for.